March 18th, Saturday of the third week of Lent. It seems that the Pharisee in today's gospel was doing all the right things. He fasted, prayed, and gave alms, all the activities that we are told that we should do, especially during Lent. Moreover, Lent should be marked by some sacrifice. Yet in today's first reading, the prophet says on God's behalf, "It is love I desire, not sacrifice." So what's the problem? It appears that Jesus is once again throwing us a curve. In fact, Jesus is asking us to go deeper and look beyond superficial performance and pay attention to the attitudes and motives underlying our actions. The problem with the Pharisee is that it is all about him, not about God. As Jesus tells the parable, the Pharisee, quote, took up his position and, quote, spoke this prayer to himself. In other words, he was taking control and asserting his importance in order to impress God with how worthy he was and to satisfy his own ego in the process. He further enhanced his status, at least in his own mind, by comparing himself to the tax collector, pointing out how much better he was than that wretched man and, by the way, the rest of humanity. God, however, was not impressed, according to Jesus. The tax collector was just the opposite. He made no attempt to justify himself. On the contrary, he acknowledged the truth of his sinfulness and threw himself on God's mercy. Evidently, that is what God wants, for as Jesus notes, the tax collector was the one who was made right with God. What is going on here? Jesus seems to flip our usual sense of right and wrong. It is not that God is pleased with sin. Sin hurts people, including the sinner. No doubt the tax collector is one who betrayed his own people by exacting tribute on behalf of their oppressors and incidentally taking a cut for himself, did a lot of harm and was held in contempt because of it. His salvation was that he realized his sinfulness and the miserable state to which it had reduced him, and he honestly acknowledged it before God. Moreover, he grasped how deeply he was mired in his sin and that there was nothing he could do on his own to get out of it. His only hope was to turn to God and entrust himself to God's mercy. And that's what God wants, for us to acknowledge that we are fragile and unworthy creatures. We are not God's equal. We can never do or be enough to deserve God's love. There is no point in trying to bargain as the Pharisee does. Yet God freely loves us. We just need to turn to God and open ourselves to God's mercy. This parable invites us to examine our own motives in our relationship to God. It is tempting to approach God from what seems like a position of strength, to try to win God's approval through our piety and good deeds, as we are taught to do with our parents and other authority figures. It won't work. The truth is that we are nothing in ourselves without God. All good comes from God. We can't claim credit for any of it. It is humiliating to admit that, which is why we so often avoid it, until life forces us to face our own weakness and brokenness through illness, failure, sinfulness, and other threats to our self-sufficiency. That helps explain the puzzling lines at the start of today's first reading. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is he who has rent, but he will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bind our wounds. It is unfortunately only after we have been brought low that we are ready to receive God's healing mercy. It is not that God knocks us down just to show us who is boss, but sometimes it is a blessing to suffer a blow to our complacency and self-importance, because then we can experience God's love, not for what we do or who we try to be, but just for who we really are. There is no greater gift. Anyone who has ministered to those who are marginalized by society, like the tax collector, have seen this. One example is the Jesuit Father Greg Boyle. As a newly ordained priest assigned to a parish in the barrio in East LA, he started to befriend the teenage gang members that the good parishioners viewed as nothing but trouble and wanted to drive away. In fact, they often did get in trouble, those gang members, which sent those lucky enough to survive to prison. But by offering uncritical acceptance and help, Father Greg was able to find and connect with a core of goodness in them and a longing for something better in their lives. As he details in his beautiful book, Tattoos of the Heart, he was able to build an organization that offered rehabilitation and jobs, staffed largely by the former gang members themselves, who are now reaching out to help others. They are not doing it to impress anyone or prove their worthiness, but out of a deep sense of gratitude and generosity. Their sense of God's gracious mercy and love shines through so clearly because they have experienced it in such a meaningful way. They are the lucky ones who have found their right relationship with God. We don't have to become criminals to get to that place, but this Lent is an invitation to probe the truth of our own vulnerability and brokenness, and to approach God in all humility, so that we can come to know God's limitless love that transcends all judgment.